what does a big boss in BMW think about the Inflation Reduction Act? Well, let's find out. Hello and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. It's been results season for a lot of automakers. Toyota's results were better than expected, which could mean the industry is overcoming its supply chain issues. Of course, one big theme is the shift to electric. BMW sold 2.4 million cars last year. About 10% of those sales were electric. And I had a chat with the Chief Financial Officer, Nicolas Peter. We talked about a lot of things, but one point he made was that countries need more charging infrastructure.
Without infrastructure, demand will not develop in the right way. And if you take Europe as an example, around 70% of the charging infrastructure, mainland Europe, is in three countries, Netherlands, France, and Germany. And even in those three markets, it's definitely not enough yet. So it's indicating that there is a real urgency to invest in infrastructure. And that's definitely something where local authorities, politics, they have a very, very important role to play. We invest on our side in the next generation of battery cells, but we definitely need urgently more infrastructure.
Now, there's been a bit of a subsidies battle since the US unveiled its Inflation Reduction Act, which gives tax breaks worth $400 billion to encourage a shift to green energy and less reliance on China. I asked whether that turned heads at BMW and changed investment decisions.
Not change, I think confirmed. Confirmed is probably the right word. Why? Because we had anyhow planned to invest in the US. US is our second biggest market in our portfolio. We have the biggest plant which we have in the group is based in the US. And of course, we had planned to electrify, if you like, the US plant. So as we speak, we are investing approximately $1.7 billion US dollars to update the plant. And at the same point in time, we are investing approximately $700 million US dollars in a battery cell module production. So it has confirmed that those investments we had planned anyhow are exactly the right ones. And we had planned those investments. Why? Because we have to follow the market.
That was BMW's Chief Financial Officer, Nicolas Peter. Now let's do the numbers. Shares for online retailer ASOS are down by as much as 6.5% after posting a fall in sales and a first half loss. It's a sign that retail is in a danger zone. And E.ON, Europe's largest energy networks provider and one of the shareholders in the defunct Nord Stream gas pipeline, expects to hit nearly $9 billion in profits this year. Well, let's do a bit of business of sport, shall we? Because between the Ryan Reynolds takeover of the Welsh club Wrexham and the fact that half of the clubs in the English Premier League have at least minority US ownership, I think it's safe to say that US interest in British soccer is on the rise. About 30 miles north of where I'm sitting is a town called Burnley, and its club has a new celebrity minority shareholder, ex-NFL star JJ Watt and his wife Kalia, a professional soccer player. JJ explains why.
I've been interested in a football club for a long time. I mean, I've been interested in Premier League football since about 2010, 2011. My wife is a professional footballer in America, and it's something that has been very interesting to me at the end of my career. And we wanted to find the right club. We wanted to find the right opportunity to go all in with the club. And we've looked at multiple opportunities, but Burnley checked every single box along the way. It's been around since 1882. It's got unbelievably passionate supporters. It's got incredible ownership in Alan Pace and a manager in Vincent Kompany. And then it's just a great town. It's a hardworking town. It's a people who are live and die with the club. So everything about it was perfect for us.
JJ Watt speaking there. To Australia now, paid domestic violence leave has come into force for millions of workers there. Full, part-time and casual employees will have the right to 10 days of paid leave in a 12-month period. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports. And just a warning, some of this report may be distressing.
My perpetrator began to impact my day-to-day work routine. Suffering in an abusive relationship impacted my ability to freely wear what I wanted to at my workplace. I would have to wear certain clothing at times to cover my injuries.
Christy McKellar endured sustained abuse by her former partner.
Absenteeism was evident as I struggled with late night assaults that at times would last right through to the early hours of the morning, whereby I was not only physically assaulted, but verbally berated with vile, degrading and sexist comments. and repeatedly told how worthless I was.
Australia is now giving victims like Christy 10 days of paid family and domestic violence leave. The Prime Minister is Anthony Albanese.
This is a change that has come from the front line. A woman shouldn't have to choose between her job and her safety.
The paid leave will be covered by employers. Some have complained about the financial burden. But the Minister for Social Services, Amanda Rishworth, says the entitlements will provide practical support.
If women particularly are working and they need time off to leave, to attend court appointments, to attend counselling or to access help, they won't have to choose between lying to their employer or having to quit their job. They'll actually have this entitlement that will allow them to take time off. It'll be paid, so you won't have that financial consequence of not turning up to work.
Legal advocate Sam Parker says some victims of abuse in Australia have been put under immense pressure by their bosses.
I've had women sitting in the safe room at court who have taken phone calls from their employer, and their employer have said, if you don't come back to work now, you don't have a job.
Research has shown that more than half of small business owners in Australia believe that at least one of their staff members is experiencing domestic violence. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Joe Packman on the tech. Our editor is Joe Critcher, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.